Please open your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 10, in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1059. Mark, chapter 10, beginning with verse 17. We'll read responsively through verse 27. Once again, Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 through 27, page 1059 in your Schofield Reference Bible. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto the disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again, and saith unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And let's read together the 27th also. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." And let's pray. And Father, give us the desire to know something more about Thee and Thy Word. That's the purpose for a service like this. We pray that You'd help us to be truly focused upon the things that are preached. We need this, and some perhaps more desperately than others, but we all need what You have for us this morning. Grant Thy power to our preacher and to us as well as we hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
We've been having some air conditioning problems this summer with our air conditioning. It's a little bit warm in here, but if you grew up in my generation, you think it's very cool. I promise you that I'll be the hottest person in this room. If you fan, I'm going to fan. How would you like for me to preach this morning doing this? I'll be the hottest person here, so if I don't have to fan, you don't have to fan either. And I'd like for you to sit up straight, look right this way. I promise you that you're not going to be one of the 546 senior citizens that die in the Chicago area because of heat this morning. I may be, but you're not going to be. I want to speak to you for a while, and I promise you again that you'll be out of here. So I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, how to add life to your years. We have doctors and nurses here this morning who are trying to add years to your life, and you read in the paper recently where they think they've discovered something that can control your cholesterol. I'm hoping mine can get down under 1,000 if we do that. Hey, you fatsoes, they think in 5 years they'll have something on the market that'll take away your fat. And we can all eat banana splits and pizza all we want to, but they're physicians and nurses and scientists. We have in our church some people that work in the science field, and one of our men I'm thinking of now that spends his life trying to discover ways to improve health and so forth. And it's justifiably so. And by the way, I've been teaching on Wednesday night. One Wednesday night I've taught, according to the Bible, how you can live longer than you would live. And so how to add years to your life. But here's the sad thing. Hardly anybody is concerned about how to add life to your years. So I want to talk to you this morning about how to add life to your years. I'm going to explain to you three passages in the Bible that you've wondered about all your life. And some of you preachers especially have tried to explain them away. I want to hit them head on this morning and tell you what they mean. So I want you to listen carefully, and I believe I can be used of God to help you. Father, bless me as I preach. Please, I ask your help, because I got some people I love as I love my own life that I want to help. Please help me to help them. In Jesus' name, amen. I said a while ago that doctors and nurses, scientists, are working hard to try to help you add years to your life. But I'm working awful hard to add life to your years. The Bible calls this, check my treble a bit, just a bit, the Bible calls this eternal life. Let me say a word about eternal life. Eternal life is a combination of duration of life and quality of life. When God talks about eternal life, He's not talking about just living forever. That's the everlasting part of eternal life. Everlasting life and eternal life are the same as far as from here on is concerned. But there are two words in the Bible. One means everlasting, one means eternal. Though on occasion, the word in the Greek for eternal is the same as the word for everlasting. For example, John 3:15, whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have eternal life. The word in the Greek is aionos, which means eternal. And then in next verse, for God so loved the world that gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. In verse 15 in English it's called eternal life, and in verse 16 it's called everlasting life. Now those are the same words in the Greek. However, there are places in the Bible where everlasting life is another word than eternal life. But I'm not trying to differentiate that way this morning. I'm saying that eternal life is more than duration. Listen to me now. Wake up, look right this way, and listen to me now. If you're going to take a nap, go home, go to bed, and be comfortable. Now, everlasting life is only a part of eternal life. Eternal life is duration. That means I have eternal life, I'll live forever. But as I have everlasting life, follow me carefully, as I have everlasting life, I have an option. I have an option to live out that everlasting life with eternal life or not live it out with eternal life. God has given me a life that will always exist. I will never die, though this body shall turn to dust. What has been born in me will never, never, never die. Now, while I have that life that shall never die, I have a choice. I can live that life for eternity, or I can live that life for temporal. Now, the Bible calls eternal life. Listen carefully. As I said, it includes duration and quality. Everlasting life is only a part of eternal life, and eternal life is a way of life that is an option to adding the way you live to how long you live. Let me give you an example. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, God says you can have the everlasting part of eternal life by faith in Jesus Christ. You don't get that by joining a church. You get that by faith in what Jesus has already done. You don't get that because you confess your sins to a man. You get that by grace through faith. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, that's the everlasting part of eternal life. Now, as I look down and see that I'm going to live forever, then verse 10 says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, what is God saying here? God is saying that I'm giving you eternal life. A part of that is everlasting life. But as you live that everlasting life, there's a certain quality of life that you can live, which means that you will have eternal life. And the Bible says that's laying up treasures in heaven. Now, there are people all over this room this morning who never have accepted everlasting life. If you died today, you would not go to heaven. If you died today, you would not live forever. And I say this morning, receive by grace through faith that everlasting life that God offers you. But there are hundreds of people here this morning that are going to live forever in heaven. But you're living for the temporal and not the eternal. So you're not living for the duration part. You're living for the duration part of everlasting life, or eternal life, but not the quality part of eternal life. That's what the Bible means when it's the more abundantly life of John 10:10. I've come that you may have life. That's duration. But you may have it more abundantly. That's a quality as the duration unfolds. I'm talking to folks today who have life because you've trusted Christ, but you do not have life more abundantly because you're living for this world instead of that world. For example, that's what it means in Romans 6:4 when it talks about newness of life. It means that you have life which is everlasting, but you're not living for the eternal, and you only have the everlasting part of eternal life. I'm talking to hundreds of people today that are living for this world. You're not doing, for example, you watch the box, which is of this world, 10 times more than you read the book, which is eternal. I mean, you spend your life trying to help people enjoy this life and never any time trying to help people have an eternal life, everlasting life. I'm saying that most of the people in this room, I'm sad to predict, are living with possessing the duration part of everlasting life, but not the quality of eternal life, but not the quality of eternal life. What a shame to have eternal life and only enjoy the everlasting part. Now follow me very, very carefully. In Mark 10, we'll not turn to it, but in Mark 10, verse 17, the Bible says, one came running unto Jesus. Don't miss it. And he asked the question, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now that verse has always bothered a lot of you, because Jesus turns around and says, go sell what you have and give it to the poor. Now that sounds to me like salvation by works. And I've heard every effort to explain that passage. This man came running to Jesus and said, Master, what may I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said two things. He said, go sell all you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And then he said, take up thy cross and follow me. Now, that's what Jesus answered him in answer to the question, what may I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus wasn't talking about the duration of eternal life. He was talking about the quality of eternal life. He was saying, while you're living forever, live for forever. That's a pretty good statement. I hadn't thought about that. While you're living forever, live for forever. So Jesus is simply saying, if you want to have the quality of eternal life, give to the poor. If you want to have the quality of eternal life, he said, take up your cross and follow me. And taking up the cross means do my will. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's more to life than eating and drinking and being merry. There's more to life than marrying and giving in marriage. There's more to life than buying and selling. There's more to life than playing and having fun. I mean, all of that's temporal. I mean, go to Six Flags, but that's going to pass away. Go to a ball game. That's going to pass away. If it's a Cub game, it's done, passed away. I mean, I'm saying, have fun and live it up and all of that. And I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's temporal. But the Bible said, if you want to have eternal life in its fullest, then you can live forever. But while you're living forever, you can live far forever. And what God is saying there is, if you want to have eternal life, that means while you are living forever, if you want to live for the eternal, he's saying, give to the poor, and he's saying, take up your cross and follow me. And, by the way, it says he didn't do it because he had great possessions. Now, what does it mean? It means Jesus told him to go sell what he had and give to the poor. And, by the way, some of you folks need to get busy giving to the poor. I mean, you stack it up and stack it up and stack it up and stack it up. And brother, within 25 miles of here, there are probably a million people. I'm not talking about the lazy hound dogs that won't get a job and you and I having to pay their salary. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about little orphan children and little widows that are starving today. How many folks have you fed? How much money have you given to feed the poor? Don't you call yourself a fundamentalist just because you believe that book's the Word of God. Jesus said, not only accept the everlasting part of eternal life, but accept the quality of helping other people as a part of eternal life. In Luke chapter 10, in verse 25, the Bible says a certain lawyer came to Jesus, asked the same question. He said, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, let me tell you a story. A story about a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. And they departed, leaving him half dead. And there came a priest that way, and he looked at him. And there came a Levite that way, and he came where he was and then passed by on the other side. But there came a certain Samaritan, a poor, hated race, and that Samaritan came where he was, and he bound up his poor in oil and wine, bound up his wounds, set him on a beast, and took him to an inn and said, take care of him. I've got to go, but I'm coming back, and I'll pay you whatever the expenses are when I get back. And Jesus said to this certain lawyer, he said, go thou and do likewise. Now, wait a minute. The lawyer said, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life? But Jesus said, lift the fallen. That's what he said. Lift the fallen. What is lifting the fallen? It is the quality of eternal life that the Christian person is supposed to enjoy as he lives the duration of eternal life. That's what's eternal. You feed the poor. That's eternal. You do the will of God. That's eternal. You lift up the fallen. You go to these homeless people here who slept on Lower Wacker Drive last night, who are just as precious in the sight of God as the richest person in this room today, and just as precious in my sight too. Now I'm saying, you go to them, and you lift them out of Lower Wacker Drive, and you take them out to First Baptist Church of Hammond, and you give them a good night's sleep, and you feed them a good meal, and you tell them that God loves them, and you tell them that Jesus will save them, and they can live forever, but not on Lower Wacker Drive, but on streets of paved with gold. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is living eternal life. What are you doing? What are you doing? That's eternal. I said, what are you doing? How many are the lost that you've lifted? How many hungry bodies have you fed? There ought to be people this morning in this room ought to fork over $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 to feed somebody else. You got food in your cupboard. Jesus said, eternal life is two divisions. Living forever and living while you live forever. Well, how do I live while I live forever? He said it, feed the poor. He said it, take up your cross, do the will of God. He said it, lift up the fallen beside the way. Third, Luke chapter 18, verse 18, says a rich ruler. Bear in mind, first, a wealthy man came. Second, a lawyer came. Third, a ruler came. Now, they may be the same man. It may have been a wealthy lawyer who was a ruler. I don't know. But I know one thing. It says one was wealthy, had great possessions. The other was a lawyer. And the third was a ruler. What does that mean? Wealth, that's possessions. Lawyer, that's prestige. Ruler, that's power. What's it saying? It's saying possessions are not eternal. And if you're living for possessions, you're not living for the eternal. It's saying the lawyer, the prestige, is not eternal. It's saying if you are a ruler and have power over men, that is not eternal. That means that Mr. Clinton today is not living for the eternal. That means that there are rich people all over America who are not living for the eternal. Hey, brother, when we get to heaven, you're going to live on a little shack somewhere at the edge of town, and some of these people that have been down Lower Wacker Drive, they're going to have the mansion, and you're going to drive by their mansion and say, boy, isn't that beautiful? Wow, I wish I had one like that. So enjoy the one you got now. You say, you preaching to me? You can decide. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's more to eternal life than living forever. There is the way you're supposed to live as you live forever. And Jesus said, there are four things to that. He said in the first place, He said, give to the poor. In the second place, He said, do His will. In the third place, He said, help the fallen. In the fourth place, He said again, distribute to the poor. Now, three times they asked Him, what may I do? Like, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life? That sounds like that salvation is by feeding the poor. Sounds like salvation is by doing the will of God. Sounds like salvation is by lifting the fallen. No, it is not. You receive everlasting life by accepting Christ in believer's faith and trusting Him to take you to heaven. Let me illustrate. I was on the airplane flying to Orlando Monday. And I try to watch my weight. A few days from now, I'm going to want to eat a little extra. So I'm sort of making a little room for it. Somebody said, you've lost some more weight. Yes, but it's temporary. I'm planning for a big time. But now, I was going to Orlando. Sat right beside this fella. And the stewardess came by and said, have you chosen what you want for your meal? I had a free upgrade. I could upgrade the first class free of charge for the fly so much. I'm what you call an executive premier in United Airlines. I said, I'm what you call an executive premier. Anyway, I told the little stewardess, she said, what would you like for lunch? I said, Diet Coke and a bag of peanuts. That's all I ate. She brought this fellow beside me, a filet mignon. It was an inch thick. It was just cooked like I like it. It had gravy over the top and mushrooms swimming around in that gravy. It had some mashed potatoes covered with cheese, melted cheese, and the prettiest little pecan pie you ever saw in your life sitting right beside it. And a salad with guacamole salad, avocado and lettuce, and the prettiest roll you ever saw in your life with poppy seed on top of it, poppy seed, sesame seed on top of it. Now we're going to the same place, but brother, the quality of our lives were a great difference. I sit there and ate one little peanut. He cut a piece of that steak. And I had to wipe the drool off of my mouth. Now, I had available for me exactly what he had. We both were going to the same place. He was eating steak. I ate peanuts. He ate potatoes a la gratin. I ate peanuts a la nothing. He ate pecan pie. I bit my fingernails. We were going to the same place, but we were not living the same quality of life. And there are people in this room today sitting side by side with other people. We'd all go to heaven if Jesus came right now. You're going to heaven. You're ready to meet God. We both possess the everlasting portion of eternal life. But I'm talking to hundreds of people who are on the same airplane going to the same destination, but you're not enjoying the quality of eternal life. All of your fun is temporal life. Rah, 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 15 for team, hot dog, hot dog, hot dog, houses, cars, lands, and all the fun. Brother, that's temporal. Take your money and feed the poor. That's eternal. Do the will of God. That's eternal. Lift up the fallen. That's eternal. And that's why Jesus said three times in three different places in the Bible in answer to the same question, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus is making it very plain that eternal life is more than how long you live, but how you live while you're living forever. Let me explain. I'm sitting in a service in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I'm about to preach. I'm sitting on the platform. Back in this corner, a couple comes in. A handsome couple. I mean, looks like a wealthy couple. And I said, "Boy, what a striking couple." Both of them, hair prematurely sprinkled with gray. Both of them dressed like they just stepped out of a fashion magazine. And I said, "Boy, oh boy, what a fine-looking couple. He must be the president of the bank, or must sell more marijuana than anybody in the county, or something." Service ended. This very attractive lady, middle-aged lady, walks up to me. She says, "Dr. Hiles, do you remember me?" And I said, "No, ma'am, I don't remember you." She said, "My name is Graham. Before I married, my name was Graham." I said, "No. No, 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 you're not one of the Graham girls." A tear came in her eye, and she said, "Yes, I am." And my mind wandered back to one day when I was out in the country outside Marshall, Texas, 40-some-odd years ago. I saw a little family moving in the shack of a house. And I got out and I helped them unload the furniture. I was pastor of a country church. Helped them unload the furniture and won the entire family to Jesus Christ. And that lovely lady said, "I want to introduce you to my pastor husband." You call that eternal life. You call that eternal life. A story I've told recently. Little lady walked up to the platform. Looked up to me and she said, "Brother Hiles, I have a child, and I'm pregnant now, but I can't afford this new child. My child won't have a chance. I'm not married. My child was conceived out of wedlock." Brother Hiles, she said, "Could you help me find a home for my child?" I knew a family in Texas that was looking for a child, and I had not been here long. I called that family, and they came up here, and over here at St. Catherine's Hospital, I took that little baby out of that mother's arms and placed it in the hand of a family named Ashby. From down in Garland, Texas. One of the prettiest little baby boys you ever saw in your life. That little lady, I met with her for 9 months before the baby came. I encouraged her. I even bought her some maternity clothes and encouraged her to serve God and not to give up because she'd made a mistake. And that little boy grew and grew. And every year I'd go to Texas and preach, I'd see that little boy. One day, that little boy I gave to that couple in St. Catherine's Hospital graduated from high school and enrolled in Howells Anderson College. It was my joy to stand right here and give him his degree a few years ago. And remember that day that I picked that little boy up from his mother's arms and gave him to somebody to rear him. Today, that boy is a preacher in East Texas, serving God full time. Ladies and gentlemen, they call that eternal life. You say, "Brother Hiles, are you intimidated around rich people?" Not on your life. They're intimidated around me. Why? I said exactly why. Because this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasure's all lit up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore. I'm saying I don't feel much at home in this world anymore. Why? Tell you why. Not only am I going to live forever, but I'm going to live while I'm living forever for that which is not temporal, but for that which is eternal. That's why Jesus said to this man that ran to him, this rich man, this lawyer, and this ruler, he said, "This is eternal life." Let me explain. Every Monday almost, I travel somewhere across America. As I walk up on the pulpit platform, sometimes on the pulpit, as I walk on the platform on Monday night, I look out and I see my boys. My preacher boys. Usually you'll have anywhere from 6 to 20 of my boys. Boys that my preacher boys come to hear me preach. I sit up there on the platform and have to fight the tears back. You call that eternal life. You stand before a couple like I do. I stand right here and here's a lovely bride Now, I remember the day when she was 4 or 5 years old, little snotty-nosed bus kid. And now she's marrying a preacher boy. And I stand right here and give the marriage vows and pronounce them husband and wife. Lovely young lady. If it had not been for the First Baptist Church, it'd probably be a whore somewhere. But thank God for the people in First Baptist Church that love the bus kids. And some of you folks have your PhDs and your master's degrees ought to get in that kind of ministry also. I remember that day on Michigan in Chicago, out in front of the Conrad Hilton Hotel. And a rich man had told me that he and the wealthy people are going to leave this church if I didn't stop the bus ministry. And I stand right here, and in my mind, I see myself back yonder 35 years ago when I jumped up and shouted, "I'll take the bus, kids." And I see that little young lady come down and light the candle here with her new husband. I see them walk out, and there's no more precious time of my life when I see the couples walk out that I've tried to influence. You call that eternal life. What does it mean? It means this. It means I look out this morning in the sea of faces and just pick out the section. I can find at least one couple in every section that were on the verge of divorce, and they came to my office and I counseled with them, and their marriage was saved, and now their children have a mommy and daddy that live together. What do you call that? You call that eternal life. What a pity for some of you to be living forever, but living like you're going to live just a while down here on earth. What does it mean? It means you remember over 6,000 nights going to bed in some hotel or motel room, wishing you were home, giving half of your life nearly to being away from home at night. And you get my age and you give away a night away from home, you're giving something pretty precious. And then all of a sudden I stopped to realize, Brother Johnny, over 20,000 people in my meetings through these years have walked the aisles rendering their lives to full-time service for God. I see them everywhere I go. I look at the mothers, and I could count 25 of them here this morning, forsaken by their husbands. And I found them when they're on the bottom. Please forgive me for boasting a bit. I'm not boasting, but you may think it is. I've fed them and fed their children until they could find a way to feed themselves. I've clothed their children. They sit here this morning, happy. Husband's gone, but rearing their children and proud of their children. And we're educating their children. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot more to life than your little old selfish piddling fun, happiness, joy, have fun, eat, drink, be merry, play, days off. Oh, I'm saying there's something greater. There is more to eternal life than living forever. It's how you live while you're living forever. I get to heaven, brother, my quality will continue. Who's going to meet you there? If you died today, anybody going to say you fed me down there? H.C. Morrison. I'm finished with this. One of my favorite stories. H.C. Morrison spent a lifetime on the mission field, sacrifice, doing without, fighting disease. He's an old man now. He's coming home. No longer will his body endure the pain and suffering of the mission field. Back in the days before they had airplanes that could cross the Atlantic and Pacific, H.C. Morrison comes back home from the mission field. He's on a ship. He gets to close to the harbor where the ship is going to dock in America. He looks over on the shore and he sees a great host of people. And they're cheering. They're clapping their hands and cheering. And H.C. Morrison says, "I didn't expect this. I didn't expect thousands of people to greet me home from serving on the mission field." He stood on the boat and began to wave at them. And suddenly somebody came up and said, "That's not for you. President Theodore Roosevelt is on the boat. He's been on a hunting expedition, safari. He's come back from a hunting expedition." They're cheering him. And H.C. Morrison went to his cabin and began to weep. And he said, "That's not right. I've given my life on the mission field. He went over to kill some animals. And they're cheering him. And nobody welcomes me." And all of a sudden he got to thinking about another harbor. He got to thinking about when he gets to heaven. He says, "I don't need to have the cheering. When I get to heaven, there'll be thousands and thousands of people cheering and welcoming me. I've been preaching a long time. I'm becoming an old man. I start my 70th year in 2 months. I've given my life to this work. I've not played a great deal. I've fed the poor. I've kept the buses rolling. I've kept the mission open. I've lifted your burdens and carried them. I wouldn't, if I had my life to live over, I'd live it exactly like I lived it. What must I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Oh, you say, "Preacher, I want to live forever too." I'm not talking about living forever. I'm talking about how you live as you live forever. I'm not talking about the everlasting part of eternal life. I'm talking about the quality of how you live. And the way you do it, you help the poor. You do the will of God. And you lift the fallen. And that's what Jesus answered 3 times. To a rich man, to a lawyer, and to a ruler. When they said, "What must I do that I may inherit eternal life?" What are you living for? What is the life you're living today? What is the message it bears on its way? Others are waiting. What does it say? What is your life today? Is it a beacon to guide the way? Is it like sunrise that brings a new day? Does it help others over life's way? What is your life today? Why don't you decide this morning, not only am I going to live forever, but I'm going to live far forever as I live forever. That I may have the fullest of eternal life. Would you bow your heads, please?